It has always seemed to me confusing, if not ironic and maybe even a little hypocritical, that our Ash Wednesday call to observe a Holy Lent, prayer, fasting, self-denial, meditation, and study on God's Word is accompanied by a strict warning not to let people know, and especially not to boast about all that we are doing and how hard it is. Forceful and lengthy instructions are given. When you pray, go into a room and shut the door. Pray in secret so your Father in secret sees you and rewards you. Don't look dismal or hungry when you fast. And when you give alms, don't sound the trumpet or go to the street corners to proclaim the word. And then the very next thing we do after the sermon today is impose a giant ashes cross on our foreheads. Not to mention that those ashes were made by lighting a veritable bonfire last night of last year's palms right out there in the garden sidewalk for all the neighborhood to see. And not only that, as I left the church and those delighted children who had seen the fire as well, not one but two people stopped me on the street corner to ask what was going on and what it was all about. We had a great conversation. It was not in secret. Now, I get it. We all know people who are like what my mother used to call the holier than thous. And that is the issue that Jesus, via Matthew, of course, is addressing. These factions among the worshipers inside the circles of the synagogues. Competition on who's the most pious, who's following the rules the best. In fact, Jesus is calling those in the synagogue and those worshipers back to the roots and truth of their own traditions. Nevertheless, though, for years, every Ash Wednesday, I left church feeling just a little bit awkward, with those ashes so prominently on my forehead as I walked out the door, and the words reminding me that I am dust, and to dust I shall return. And so I gave a secret swipe to my forehead to make sure that I could go back to whatever meeting or work I had as if the day were like any other. That is, until just a few years ago, I was walking from Grand Central Station to our office on the presiding bishop's staff. I was a church bureaucrat then, not a parish priest. It was Ash Wednesday. There were meetings all day. I wasn't sure I would be able to get to church. When I saw a long line waiting to go into St. Agnes Roman Catholic Church. You may have seen it. It's there from on Grand Central on 43rd on the way toward the United Nations. The line was all the way down the block, but it was moving pretty fast. Seemed like the quickest church service ever to me. I had my clergy collar on, but no other identifying marks, and thought, well, why not? I'll go in and see what they're doing. I joined the line, a little nervous, but it moved quickly, and of course, it finally dawned on me that this was ashes and not an actual mass. And before I knew it, I was at the front. The priest repeating the familiar words as he made the sign of the cross on the forehead of each one. No questions asked. No wondering whether you'd been to church last week, last year, or ever. No suggestion that if you happen to be a wandering Episcopal priest, you might not belong. Just a kind eye, a welcoming smile, and with each marking, the reminder, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Until that moment, I'd thought of ashes to go as cheap grace. Something for nothing. But it was not cheap at all. And I will wager not for any person who was standing in that line. And the grace was beyond measure. In a heartbeat, I belong to a whole world of people. People who had the courage to walk in the doors of St. Agnes, to stand in the line, no matter who they were. And those priests who were offering ashes, no motives questioned, just the welcome and the grace. A recent op-ed written by a former atheist in the New York Times described it this way. Ashes are really one of the few rituals that are truly open to anyone. Lapsed or wavering Christians, theists, agnostics, atheists, or those of other faiths who are curious or who see the practice as an awareness of God, or fallibility, or mortality. You just have to ask, and in a very public, not a secret, private sort of way. That day, I did not wipe the ashes away. They stayed until they faded on their own. I didn't feel like boasting of some superior piety, but more like connection with the human race and all its diversity. Could it be that in our times, these 2026 times, our Lenten discipline can and should be a very public one? Not boastful, not holier than thou, but rather a public witness in a world of confused Christianity and too many wrong paths where we search to make the right one. Perhaps that public Christianity is a mark of solidarity, not just with those who are like us or who belong to one church or even one religion, but rather with all humanity, from our beginning in dust to our return to it. This afternoon, the Diocese of New York and Long Island, along with a number of all us from St. Michael's Church, joined together for a public witness at 26 Federal Plaza. To surround that place where ICE offices are and ICE appointments are held, and where too many have ended up with violent detainment, and too many have not received the respect they deserved as mere and amazing human beings. Many of us, with ashes on our foreheads, wanted to witness to our own covenant and seal in baptism, respecting the dignity of every human being. Our Ash Wednesday practice of wearing ashes is not a betrayal of the mandate not to boast about fasting or praying or self-denial, but an invitation. Not a mark that proves we belong to a club, but one which recognizes we belong to one another. In fact, between the beginning of that dust and the end of that dust, to which we return to our own beginning, is a whole lifespan. That's a lot of time for most of us. A lot of time for spiritual disciplines, and a lot of time for action. A lot of time when we can use those tools of prayer and fasting and study as witness to a world in need. I'm grateful for what the gospel says about those tools, but I'm also so grateful as well for the words of the prophet Isaiah, because those things are what we use those tools for. We heard it in our Old Testament lesson. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and healing shall spring forth. You shall be a watered garden. That is the message for us, a watered garden, where a new earth and a new heaven can grow now in this dust of our beginning and in the dust that is also our return. Amen.